Then woe to those who write the book with their own hands and then say, "This is from Allah," to purchase with it a little price. Woe to them for what their hands have written, and woe to them for what they earn thereby. See, Allah is talking about the Jews. The Jewish priests used to deliberately keep the masses ignorant so that they would have a monopoly over their deen. So when the majority was ignorant and they had no knowledge of their religion, obviously they would accept whatever it was the priests were giving to them. And sometimes the priests would distort their religion and sometimes they would be selling fatwas. Now we can think about the Muslim majority today. Many Muslims today don't even know the meaning of salat. They might be reading their prayers regularly, but they might not even know the translation of that salat. Allah says such people are illiterates. People who guess about their religion, who take it on hearsay. Oh, my friend was telling me this about Islam. Oh, my neighbor was telling me this, but they haven't bothered to open the book for themselves. And these Jews say, the fire shall not touch us, but for a few numbered days. We Muslims also say this, don't we? That, oh, we've said La ilaha illallah, so we won't go to hell. Don't worry. Say, have you taken a promise from Allah that Allah will not break His promise? Where's your proof? Or is it that you say of Allah what you do not know? Yes. بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Allah says, Jannah is no one's birthright. You can't enter it because of that label of Muslim you bear. You need actions to get that. We read in the story of Adam alayhi salam that the price of Jannah is obedience. If we disobey Allah, we have forfeited our entry into Jannah. Whoever earns evil, whether Muslim, Jew or Christian, and his sin has surrounded him, they are dwellers of the fire, and they will dwell therein forever. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And those who believe and do good deeds. Iman and good deeds go together. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. They are dwellers of paradise. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will live therein forever. And remember when we took a covenant from the children of Israel, saying, worship none but Allah alone, and be dutiful and good to parents, and to relatives, and to the orphans, and to the needy. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. And speak good to people, and perform salat, and give zakat. Then you slid back, except a few of you, whilst you are ones to turn aside. Look at the commandments of this path. This applies to us Muslims as well. If you read it, we find it's a summary of fulfilling Allah's rights and human's rights. Not just that we say, oh, I'm going to focus on Allah and I'm going to pray and I don't care about the rest of the world and everyone else can go to hell. That's not Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. None of you can truly believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. If we seek Jannah for ourselves, then we should be seeking Jannah for others as well. And yet in our society, we find both extremes. We find people who are obsessed with the rituals of Islam, who are the most rigid when it comes to prayers and fasting, yet they are the ones who hurt people the most. They are the ones who are the most cruel to people, who break ties with relatives. And then on the other extreme, we find people who are philanthropists, who are serving mankind, but they don't have time for salat. You know, there's this author by the name of Guy Eaton, and in his book, Islam and the Destiny of Man, he comes up with a very beautiful prayer, which is, O Lord, make the religious people good and make the good people religious. Hukukullah and hukukul ibad go together. Allah says, then you slid back, except a few of you, whilst you are ones to turn aside. And remember, when we took your covenant, saying, do not shed the blood of your people, nor turn out your own people from their dwellings, then this you ratified, and to this you bear witness. The Jews were not allowed to fight against one another, but they violated this pact. After this, it is you who kill one another and drive out a party of you from your homes, assist against them in sin and transgression. And if they come to you as captives, you ransom them, although their expulsion was forbidden to you. What the Jews would do was they would fight against one another, which was haram for them, but they would ransom the captives, and that was part of their sharia. Now this is really interesting because they were obeying part of their sharia and rejecting part of the sharia, which is what Muslims today do as well. We obey those parts of the Quran which are convenient for us or comfortable for us. And we reject or conveniently forget those parts which we're not interested in. Allah says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ. Do you believe in part of the book? وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Do you reject part of the book? Then what is the recompense of those who do so amongst you, except disgrace in the life of this world? And on the day of judgment, they shall be consigned to the most grievous torment. People who try and please Allah and mankind end up by pleasing neither. They won't be pleasing people and they will certainly not be pleasing Allah. And Allah is not unaware of what you do. Do you think Allah is not looking when you're disobeying Him? He's only looking at you when you're obeying Him? Allah is not unaware of what you do. Those are they who have bought the life of this world at the price of the hereafter. Hazrat Ali once said that you are leaving this world behind. This world is moving away from you and the hereafter is coming towards you. So be children of that which is coming towards you. Don't be children of that which you're leaving behind. Their torment shall not be lightened, nor shall they be helped. And indeed we gave Musa the book and followed him up with a succession of messengers. And we gave Isa, the son of Maryam, clear signs and supported him with Jibrail. Is it that whenever there came to you a messenger with what you yourselves desired not, you grew arrogant? Some you disbelieved and some you killed. And they say, our hearts are covered. Nay, Allah has cursed them for their disbelief. So little is that which they believe. People nowadays also say, oh, you know, I've read the Quran and I've heard it, but it doesn't move me, it doesn't affect me at all. The Jews used to say proudly, our hearts are covered, it makes no difference whatever you say, we're not moved at all. Allah says, the reality, Allah has cursed them for their disbelief. Because they rejected the truth, Allah let them persist in that state. And when there came to them a book from Allah confirming what is with them, although before this they had invoked Allah in order to gain victory over those who disbelieved, then when there came to them that which they had recognized, they disbelieved in it. فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ So let the curse of Allah be on the disbelievers. The Jews used to taunt the Arabs, wait till our Prophet comes. But they got the shock of their lives when the Prophet ﷺ came and he was an Arab. And out of sheer envy and stubbornness, they said, we're not going to follow him. So Allah says, let the curse of Allah be on the disbelievers. How bad is that for which they have sold their own selves, that they should disbelieve in that which Allah has revealed? Grudging that Allah should reveal of His grace unto whom He wills of His slaves. فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَىٰ غَضَبٍ So they have drawn on themselves wrath upon wrath. And for the disbelievers, there is disgracing torment. Allah says that they have sold their chances of the hereafter. Why? Out of sheer envy. Because they couldn't bear that the Arabs had been given this honor. And when it is said to them, believe in what Allah has sent down, they say, we believe in what was sent down to us. And they disbelieve in that which came after it, while it is the truth confirming what is with them. The Jews used to reject the Quran, although the Quran really was an affirmation of the Torah. Say, why then have you killed the prophets of Allah aforetime, if you indeed have been believers? Allah says, ask the Jews that if they were so interested in following the truth, they didn't even accept their own prophets. So how then can they claim to be pious ones and that's why they're rejecting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They killed their own prophets. How then can they set themselves up as arbiters or authorities on religion? And indeed Musa alayhi salam came to you with clear proofs, yet you worshipped the calf after he left and you were wrongdoers. Allah reminds them of their past. And remember when we took your covenant and we raised above you the mount. This is when the mountain was literally suspended above their heads and they were told, either you implement the book of Allah or it falls upon you. And for a brief time they obeyed and then they fell into their old ways again. And we raised above you the mount, saying, hold firmly to what we have given you. Wasma'u, and listen. Again and again we told this command, listen, listen to what's being told to you. And listen doesn't simply mean that in one ear, out the other. Listening means internalizing. وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلِ And their hearts absorbed the calf because of their disbelief. Their hearts were embedded in love of the calf. Why does Allah keep on mentioning this calf over here? The calf embodied that which they loved more than Allah. If we think about it, in our lives we too must be having something that takes us away from love of Allah. For some people, it's their husbands. Oh, my husband doesn't let me follow Allah. For some, it's our children. Oh, I'm so busy with my children, I don't have time to read Salah. Whatever it is, Allah warns us. Their hearts absorb the calf because of their disbelief. We need to analyze the priorities in our lives because Allah has told us, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ Those who believe, they are most intense in love for Allah. Nothing else. Say, worst indeed is that which your faith enjoins on you if you are believers. Tell them, if the home of the hereafter with Allah is indeed for you specially and not for others of mankind, then long for death if you are truthful. The Jews used to claim, oh, we're Allah's loved ones. Then Allah says, then tell them that they should long for death then. They should long to be with their beloved Allah. But they will never long for it because of what their hands have sent before them. They know what they can expect with Allah, so they're actually afraid of dying. And Allah is all aware of the wrongdoers. And indeed you will find the Jews the greediest of mankind for life. and even greedier than those who ascribe partners to Allah. Nowadays also people are obsessed with living longer, obsessed with cloning. Why? So we can be immortal finally. Allah says every one of them wishes that he could be given a life of 1,000 years. But the grant of such a life will not save him even a little from punishment. This is the creed of today, isn't it? That become immortal, get yourself cloned so you live forever. Allah says even if you were to live for 1,000 years, that would not save you from the punishment. And Allah is all seer of what they do. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلِ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Tell them, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, let him know that indeed Jibreel has brought this Quran down to your heart by Allah's permission, confirming what came before it. The Jews have come up with this false excuse that, oh, we'd love to believe in Islam, but you know, Jibreel is the messenger who brings the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Jibreel is an old enemy of ours, and that's the reason we can't accept. Allah says, whoever is an enemy to Allah, His angels, His messengers, Jibreel and Mikael, then indeed Allah is an enemy to the disbelievers. Anyone who opposes any of Allah's loved ones, one who is serving Allah's deen, he should know that Allah is an enemy for such a person. وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. Indeed, we have sent down to you manifest verses, signs, and none disbelieve in them but those who are disobedient. Only people who don't want to obey Allah will reject these verses. Is it not the case that every time they make a covenant, some party among them throw it aside? Nay, most of them believe not. And when there came to them a messenger from Allah, confirming what was with them, a party of those who were given the scripture threw away the book of Allah behind their backs as if they did not know. They followed what the devils gave out in the lifetime of Sulaiman. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ. And Sulaiman did not disbelieve, but the devils disbelieved, teaching men magic and such things that came down at Babylon to the two angels Harut and Marut. But neither of these two angels taught anyone till they had said, we are only a trial, so disbelieve not. And from these angels people learned that by which they caused separation between man and his wife. But they could not thus harm anyone except by Allah's leave. And they learned that which harms them and profits them not. And indeed they knew that the buyers of magic would have no share in the hereafter. And how bad indeed was that for which they sold their own selves. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If they but knew. And this is an important ayat because it states the reality of magic. What happened was that people sometimes falsely attribute the teaching of magic to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah starts by refuting this. مَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ. Sulaiman did not do kufr. Which straight away teaches us that learning magic or teaching it or practicing it is kufr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever learns anything of magic, whether a little or a lot, kana akhiru ahdihi min Allah, it is the end of his covenant from Allah. People who say, oh, I'm doing it just for fun, I'm just reading this book for fun, you know, I'm not really going to practice it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say whoever practices it, he said whoever learns a little of magic. Now what is the reality of magic? Because people are quite confused about it generally. The reality of magic is that just as our body is subject to physical forces, if I hit my hand is going to hurt, right? In the same way our spirit, our ruh, is vulnerable to spiritual forces. What is magic actually? It's just a few words that they read in a certain way. Some people, I think, read the Quran backwards, whatever it is that they do. Now magic does have an effect upon our ruh. It can upset us, it can disturb us. We learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had magic done upon him. Now we need to understand, and this is really important, that the true reality of magic is this, that it cannot harm us illa bi-idhnillah, except by the consent of Allah. So there's no point in getting paranoid about magic and thinking everything that goes wrong with us is the outcome of magic. Remember that all that befalls us, whether good or evil, is happening by Allah's will. La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is in control of our lives and destinies, not that magician. What they're doing might be affecting us temporarily, but that too is happening by the consent of Allah. Now the most important thing we need to know about magic is the protection that Allah has taught us against magic. The morning and evening du'as should be read regularly. The Mu'awwazatan, Surah Falaq and Surah Nas should be read regularly. Because when we read these regularly, we are creating a shield of protection around ourselves. And if we don't read them regularly and only start reading them when someone starts doing magic upon us, God forbid, then of course it will take some time. The point to remember is they could not harm anyone except by Allah's leave. So our iman should not be affected. We should believe that everything that's happening to us is happening by Allah's leave. The second point, وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَدُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. They were learning that which was harming them and profiting them not. See, sometimes it seems like the person who's doing magic is getting away with it and he's accomplishing whatever he wanted to do. Allah says, in reality, they are harming themselves. لَا يُفْلِحُ السَّحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. The magician can never be successful. And indeed, they knew that the bias of magic would have no share in the hereafter. It's kufr. Magic is kufr. Anyone who practices it, learns it, is doing kufr. No share in the hereafter. How bad indeed was that for which they sold themselves. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. Now this is so interesting that Allah is not talking about the victim of the magic here. Allah is talking about the magician. This is all about the magician, that this is what's happening to the magician. He thinks he's harming someone, he thinks he's controlling someone's destiny. In reality, he's selling away his own chances of success in the hereafter. And one more thing we can see, that one act of magic that Allah mentions here is that by which they cause separation between man and his wife. And in our society too, we find generally that this is the most often practiced magic. This is the objective of the magic, to cause separation between man and his wife. Allah detests it so much that Allah mentions this aspect alone. See, we need to know that to cause separation between a man and his wife is an act of shaitan. We learn from a hadith that when shaitan sets up his court every day and at the end of the day, the different devils come to him and report to him that this is what I did and this is what I did. And he's listening. And when one comes up and says, today I caused separation between a man and his wife, the head shaitan gets up and embraces him. And he says, you have really done something worthwhile. So this is an act of shaitan. So we need to be careful about the words that we utter, lest we be causing trouble between someone and their wife. Allah says, how bad indeed was that for which they sold themselves. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If they but knew. And if they had believed, and they had been Allah conscious, far better would have been their reward from Allah, if they but knew. Because the magician is in a way trying to play God. He's trying to influence someone's life. He's trying to influence someone's destiny. That's why it's kufr. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe, do not say رَاعِنَا, but say unzurna. This refers to the fact that when the Prophet ﷺ would be conducting his gatherings, the companions would out of courtesy and deference say to him, Raina, could you repeat that? Raina literally meant, could you make allowances for us? Like saying, excuse me. Now, the Jews who used to attend those gatherings started distorting that word and they made it into Raina, which meant ignorant fool. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of courtesy for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, Muslims don't even say any word which can be distorted by them. Stop using ra'ina. Instead, say unzurna, which means repeat what you've just said or make us understand. And for the disbelievers, there's a painful torment. What is this disbelief? Deriding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Neither those who disbelieve among the people of the book, that is the Jews and the Christians, nor those who do shirk, wish that any good should be sent to you from your Lord. وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But Allah chooses for His mercy whom He wills. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And Allah is the owner of great bounty. Whatever verse we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, we bring a better one or similar to it. Do you not know that Allah is able to do all things? Do you not know that it is Allah to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth? And besides Allah, you have neither any protector nor any helper. Or do you want to ask your messenger, as Musa was asked before this? And he who changes faith for disbelief, indeed he has gone astray from the right way. Many of the people of the book, that is the Jews and the Christians, wish that they could turn you away as disbelievers after you have believed out of envy from their own selves. Now this is a warning for us. Not all the Jews and the Christians, but many of them wish that the Muslims should be totally confused about their faith. We all know about the Orientalists and their campaign for discrediting Islam. And we all know also that due to their media, they have succeeded to a large extent. Muslims today bear an apologetic attitude towards Islam. We're ashamed of the fact that we have to do hijab. We're ashamed of the fact that slavery exists in Islam, although you read what a just system it is. We're ashamed of the fact that the Prophet ﷺ had so many wives. Even after the truth has become clear to them, فَعْفُ وَاصْفَحُ. But forgive and overlook until Allah brings His command. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed Allah is able to do all things. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ Allah says, don't just be brooding about their conspiracies. Like some Muslims, they're just obsessed with what's happening. You know, the conspiracy theory and so-and-so is out to get us and so-and-so is out to get us. Allah saying, don't waste your time on things like this. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ Establish salah, وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ And give zakat. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ Whatever of good you send forth for yourselves before you, تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ You shall find it with Allah. Allah is saying, maximize your time, don't waste it. Indeed Allah is all-seer of what you do. And these Jews and Christians say, none shall enter paradise unless he be a Jew or a Christian. These are their own desires. Say, produce your proof if you are truthful. بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ Yes, but whoever surrenders his face to Allah. وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ And he is one who does good deeds. فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ Then his reward is with his Lord. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ And there shall be no fear for them, and nor shall they grieve. Allah says, the point is not about the title that you bear. What is the point? That you should have surrendered your face. Wajh can mean face and it can mean essence. What is in our face? That our eyes should be seeing that which Allah wants us to see. Our ears should be listening to that which Allah wishes us to hear. Our mouths should be uttering that which Allah wishes us to speak. And our minds should be thinking in accordance with Allah's commands. And wajh also means the essence. The core of your personality should belong to Allah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, At-taqwa hahuna. This is where Allah consciousness is. Your heart is the core of taqwa. Whoever surrenders himself to Allah and he does good deeds, not just people who say, oh Allah knows how pure my heart is, I don't need to prove it. No, we need iman, we need taqwa, and we need good actions to prove that. Then his reward is with his Lord, and on them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. The Jews said that the Christians know nothing, and the Christians say that the Jews know nothing, although they both recite the scripture. Like unto their words said those who know not, Allah will judge between them on the day of judgment about that wherein they have been differing. And who are more unjust than those who forbid that Allah's name be glorified and mentioned much in Allah's mosques and strive for their ruin? The killings that have taken place in the mosques of Pakistan, we're all familiar with them. And especially if you think about it at Fajr and Isha time. Now only someone who's a really devoted Muslim would be praying at Fajr time and Isha. People who have been committing these sectarian killings, what has been the result? That people are afraid to pray in the mosques now, especially Fajr and Isha. Allah says it is not fitting that such people should themselves enter the mosques except in fear. لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ For them there is humiliation in this world. If they're getting away with it right now, they cannot get away with it forever. The mills of God grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. There is disgrace in this world. وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ And they will have a terrible torment in the hereafter. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَصَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ To Allah belong the East and the West. Wherever you turn, there is the being of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ Indeed Allah is all vast, all embracing, all knowing. Allah is saying, don't confine Allah to the mosques alone. Like some people, they go for Umrah religiously. And when they come back, their lifestyle hasn't changed. Their dress is the same, their conversation is the same, their sins are the same. Allah is saying, don't confine my remembrance to the mosques alone. That you're a different person when you enter the masjid, you're a different person when you go for Hajj and Umrah, and you come back and it's all the same. أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ Sense Allah's presence wherever you are. This is the level of ihsan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said once, what is ihsan? أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ That you worship Allah as if you can actually see Him. You can behold the glory of His presence, the magnificence of His light. Wherever you turn, there is the being of Allah. Surely Allah is all vast, all embracing, all sufficient, all knowing. And they say Allah has begotten a son. Look at the comparison. Compare ayat 115 to 116. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the universe who cannot be confined to any place alone. And then look at from the sublime to the ridiculous. Allah says, and then these people say, Allah has taken a son? How dare they judge Allah on an anthropomorphic level? How dare they impute human needs to Him? Glory be to Him. To Him belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. Why should He need a son? When he is master of the whole universe, and all surrender with obedience to him. بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Originator of the heavens and the earth. When He decrees a matter, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ All He has to say to it is be and it is.